there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
So this morning we're going to talk about this. Own the home. Who, when you were younger, ever got told by your parents, when it's your own house, you're going to treat it differently? Who, as a parent, has ever said that to their kids? And who, as a parent now, looks at your kids and goes, told you so? Yeah? When I was a bit younger, when I was a teenager, I had the smallest bedroom in the house because I was a very good brother to my sister and gave her the biggest room. I had less stuff than she did, and so we got swapped around. What was really surprising is that even though I had the smallest room, and I say the smallest room, it was like a cupboard, I was still able to cover the floor with all of my stuff and have like three little patches of carpet that you could see, because I'd be able to go, one, two, bed. And then there was another little patch right next to my wardrobe where I could just about open it, get the stuff out that I needed to, take that one, and then out my door. That's what my bedroom used to look like. And my parents would always say to me, you need to learn to tidy up now, because otherwise, when it's your own home, the whole thing is going to be a mess. And the truth is that if I wasn't married to Emily, my house would be like just lots of little potholes where I could put my feet and get around the house, because I'm really messy. Like, our bedroom is really tidy, except for one little corner, which is right next to my bedside table. And we've got a stupid cushion on the bed that doesn't get used for anything. Anyone else? Except it's not a small cushion, it's massive. Like, we've got quite a big bed, and it takes up at least half of it. It's ridiculous. And the thing is, that as soon as you get into bed, that cushion has to go somewhere, right? It doesn't stay in bed, because there's no space for you and for your partner. And if you've got kids, then who knows that they take up most of the space as well. So we've got this stupid, massive cushion in our bedroom. There's nowhere for it to go except next to all of my stuff. Therapy works really well from a stage. But that cushion then becomes a bit of a, like a shelf for me. So if you walk into our bedroom, it's directly opposite the door, because I sleep next to the door, because apparently it's a thing where the guy sleeps next to the door in case an intruder comes in and he can take the first hit. How is that fair? You're saying no, does that not happen in your house? We need to have words. Yeah. Depending what the noise is, that's true in our house too. But on that cushion now is like a pair of joggers that I wear when I get home from work and I want to be comfy. It's the t-shirt that I wear whenever I get home and I want to be comfy. It's also got the pair of jeans that I wore on Friday night when we went out for dinner. It's got the dirty shirt that I didn't quite get into the washing basket. It's got a pair of socks that have been there for about 3 weeks. They don't smell that bad, because I put them on when I get out of the shower, and then just before I go to bed, I take them off. So they're still kind of clean, right? No? It's got a belt that I took off from my work trousers, so that probably shouldn't be there. It's got a notepad that I just threw on the side. It's just my collection of stuff. Now, I know what's in that pile, and if it gets moved, I get a bit frustrated, because I'm like, where have those joggers gone? Ah, they're in your drawer. Why are they in the drawer? I left them there on purpose. Because it's tidier when they're in the... If it was just me in my house, our house would be disgusting, because I'm just not a tidy person. And I'm okay living like that. Emily cannot cope if the house is messy. And so most of our house is really tidy, except for my little spot in our room. You see, when I was younger, my parents said, when you own the home, it'll feel different. It's true. It does. Maybe not the home, but the car is different for me. I get in the car and there's crumbs on the floor because Harry's been eating his biscuits and it winds me up. There's an empty coffee cup in the centre dash where Emily got a coffee on the way to dropping Harry off, and then that hasn't yet made it to the bin because she was sorting Harry out. That's fair. I'm not angry about that. There are wipes on the floor. There are wipes on the back seat. There are wipes on the front seat. There are wipes on the dashboard. In the back of the car, there's just T-shirts. And I don't even know where the T-shirts are from, and most of them are mine, and I'm like, what's going on here? But I care about the car more than I care about the house, because there's a sense of ownership, right? And you're all laughing because you've all either felt this, or you'll look at somebody else and you say, when you own it, you feel differently. And how many of you feel differently when you own something? Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. How many of you get frustrated by that dent in your car that somebody put there that wasn't you because you own the car? How many of you get frustrated by a dent in the car that you put there yourself because you own it? And you see, church is the same, right? So why am I so passionate about church looking good on a Sunday? Because I own it. Why am I so passionate about when people walk through the door that they encounter Jesus? Because I own what this church is. And this morning, I want to encourage you, when you own it, you feel differently. I want to encourage you, start to own your home. Start to own this home that is your spiritual home. Because when we begin to own it, we feel differently about it, yeah. Right? Yeah. And what does ownership in church looks like? What does it look like? It looks like you serving. Because when you serve in church, you begin to feel it a bit more. And when you feel it a bit more, you begin to take ownership of it. And when you begin to take ownership of it, you feel far more passionately about how stuff's going in it. And you look at the preach and say, yeah, I could do a better job than that. And you probably could. So please, come let us know and we'll get you up here. You look at the kids' service and think, oh, I could do actions better than that. Great, come and teach the kids some better actions. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to introduce you to three people that some of you'll probably know them, but you might not know what they do in church. And why these three people? Because these three people really represent what it means to own the home. They're people that you may not see every Sunday doing something, but I've got to tell you that every Sunday they're doing something. Wrong group, but these are good people too. We'll get to that a little bit later. But for now, please would you put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Barry and Barbara Williams and Becca Rees. Please take a seat on the sofa with those massive cushions. If there's no space, please feel free to throw them on the floor. I'm sure that my shirt will make its way to them later. As in, just the outer shirt, not the undershirt. That would be inappropriate in church.
Just no.
Hey, guys. Firstly, Becca, thanks for coming out from kids, because you've been out there serving them, right?
Last-minute change of plans.
Thank you so much for doing that. Right, I've got some questions for you guys that hopefully is going to help land this message in a bit. And if it doesn't, then we're in trouble. But first of all, please would you just introduce yourself to anybody that doesn't know you? So.
I'm Becca, and I am married to John, who is currently out there as well. My daughter Nell is 3. She's out there, and my son Josiah at the back. He's 13.
So I'm Barbara. I'm married to Barry. I've got 2 sons and 5 grandchildren. One of my sons, you probably already know, is Mike. And the other one is the pastor at Canesham. And what else did you want to know?
That's great for
that
now.
That was it.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Now, you need to know this. Before church started, I just said to Barry, are you sure that you're good for this? He went, yes, as long as all the answers to the questions of Jesus were good. There is going to be more that comes out of Barry very soon. But for now, we'll just keep on going. How long have you been with us at One Church Bristol?
So we started coming in December 2019.
Great. You guys, you've been here far longer than I have. How long have you been part of One Church?
So we've been part of One Church since 2012. 10, 10, 10, 12?
10 or 12.
What would you say, Mike?
13, 14.
No, we moved into our house in 2014, and we were probably about 2012 or 2013, yeah.
Great stuff. Okay. Now, all of you have a passion for something. What's your passion? What do you love to do?
I love worship.
Great. Why?
it's my opportunity to really express my heart for God and for Jesus, and I love singing. So.
Amazing. Great stuff. Barbara, what's your passion?
So probably the thing I love to do the most is talking to people about Jesus.
Yeah. Amazing.
I'm not very much of a talker, not like Barbara. So my passion is more just as long as I can be a help to somebody, that's my passion anyway.
Great stuff. Okay, the reason that I asked that is because the answer to this next question is going to help guide us a little bit, okay? Tell us what you do to serve here at One Church Bristol at the moment, and how did you find yourself doing it?
I serve on kids. I was also serving on the worship team, and it just all got a bit, there was too much for me to do, so I had to choose. And I'm a primary school teacher. That's where my strength is, and there is so much need on the kids team that I couldn't, it was a no-brainer. I was on the kids team.
Great stuff.
So I serve, I'm one of the members of the guest services team. I'm also a member of the cleaning team.
And administration?
Yeah, I get paid to do that. I thought you wanted our, like, you know, so I get paid to do that on a Tuesday. The guest services team and the cleaning and is like separate. I thought you wanted volunteer stuff.
This shows how humble you are, because the administration stuff is so much more than just a paid job, isn't it? It's a massive role that you take, and church wouldn't run without you. So thank you, because even if you are getting paid for it.
I've got lost now. Where were we? I'm currently working around the church. I do odd jobs around the church, and I serve the same as Barbara on hospitality.
Yep.
And I don't know what I do anything else really. That's about it.
Barbara and Barry, why do you do what you do? Why do you serve in those areas?
So I feel, this is what I feel about it. I have a home, my own home. If we invite guests to our home, I want them to come in and I want them to feel welcome in my home. I want them to, you know, take a seat, have a cup of tea, you know, feel sort of welcome. I want them to, you know, and if I know I've got people come in, the very least I will do is make sure the bathroom is clean and the kitchen is clean and the lounge is sort of generally tidy. I'm a person that is like a place for everything and everything in its place. Mm-hmm. And this building is my church home, so why would I be any different? I want people to come in and feel welcome, feel that they can, you know, be at ease. You know, that I want them to feel comfortable. Sit down, have a cup of tea, feel comfortable. If they need to use the toilets, I don't want them to go out there and find, you know, there's no toilet paper, there's no paper towels, there's a dirty, horrible toilet. You know, I want it to be like it's my own home. I want it to be clean. I want people to come in. I want them to feel comfortable. I can't play an instrument. I can't sing particularly brilliantly, but I can make a cup of tea, and I can make a cup of coffee, and I can say hello to people. So that's why I choose. That's why I choose to do those things.
Brilliant.
Cleaning the toilets is not my dream job, to be honest. You know. It's not what I'm passionate about, but somebody has to do it, and I choose to do it.
Great.
Along with some other people from the church.
Brilliant. Barry, why do you do what you do?
Well, I I decided a long, long time ago that if I was to do anything in the church, I looked at doing things, and I wasn't going to be a prophet, I wasn't going to be a pastor, I wasn't going to be a... But I could be the other thing, which is the helps. I could get on and help, and as long as I can take pressure off the leadership by just doing my little bits that I do, that's what I...
Great. Last question. What's the real area of need in the area that you currently serve in? What do you see as something that either we can pray about or that we can help with?
In kids, we need people. we're really short of people. You don't have to be a teacher or work in childcare or anything, but just people to come alongside our kids and just kind of love on them and let them know that they are valued and that they're a part of this church. And yeah, just to come and be with them.
Great. Great stuff, Becca.
So we have a cleaning team, and there's just four of us. So we could always do it with more people. You know, the guest services, we could always do with more people because the more people there are, the less times you have to get up and come in and, you know, because I have the responsibility of making the rota, and I don't like to put people on, like, you know, the same people every week, because there's the danger it can become like a bit of a chore for them, you know, rather than wanting to come in for the right reasons and enjoying it. And so the more the merrier, really.
Great. Yeah.
Well, I know I can do a lot of things, but there are certain things that I can't do. And I think, you know, when it comes to the odd jobs, there are certain jobs that I can't do. And so I could need help with some of that. And also, like Barbara said, in the hospitality, we always need somebody just to relieve the pressure on the ones that do it every other week or whatever, you know, so that's it.
Great stuff. Hey, would you give these guys a round of applause? Thank you. And genuinely, thank you not just for doing that, but for everything that you do to serve this church. We genuinely couldn't do it without you. I know Becca's just run because she's desperate to get back to the kids. Why are we doing this morning? Because the truth is, yes, we need people. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself in position and I think, oh, this all runs so smoothly. Surely there's no need for me. But the truth is that church is like a swan, and this analogy gets used a lot, but you know when a swan is swimming along a river, it looks so graceful, right? But the truth is that under the water, the legs are going a million miles an hour. Now, we're not underwater, thankfully, because that wouldn't be very successful. But behind the scenes, the people that you see that are running stuff, that are making things happen, are working so hard. And why do we do it? Because we desperately love Jesus and we desperately love this church. But there's more to it than that. And in Romans 12, many of you will know this, Romans 12 verse 1, it says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now what does that mean for us this morning? That means that even when it's difficult and when it's cold and rainy outside, we get out of bed at 7, 6:30, whatever time that may look like. And even when your week's been rubbish and life's been hard and you've had a barmy with your other half on the way to church and all you're thinking is, oh, this would be so much easier if I weren't serving this morning. No, I choose as a living sacrifice to go and serve God as an act of true and proper worship. When I'm on a team and I'm like, why am I doing this again? When it's my turn, this doesn't happen to me, but it maybe if you're on cleaning the toilets And you're thinking, ugh, that again. Why do you do it? Because as a true and proper act of worship to God, you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. What does it mean to own this home? It means offering yourself as a living sacrifice. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, like, how often do you think a lamb would be taken? And they'd be going, oh, great, I can't wait to be sacrificed this morning. There's a reason in the story in Genesis that Abraham doesn't tell Isaac what he's about to do, because I bet if he did, that young boy would be going, you can do what to me? I don't think so. Because being a sacrifice isn't joyful. It's not something that you dream of doing in your life, is it? And yet, being this living sacrifice for God and saying, here I am, would you use me? It genuinely is a true pleasure. And it's a true and proper act of worship to him. And so why are we doing this morning? Because the truth is that in every area of our church, we need people. And you might well be that one person that we desperately need just to take a bit of pressure off, to create a better place for people to come in and to experience him. Because every person that's on our rotas right now would choose to do it day in, day out. I can't speak for everybody, but as for me and my house, we chose a long time ago that we would serve the Lord. And that means that even when it's tough and even when it's hard, we will be here and we will be serving God. And this morning, I want to put this challenge out to you. Last week, Pastor Mike spoke about how the two people that were called to different places weren't the right people. And he kind of touched on this a little bit at the end. And he said, you may feel like you're not qualified to do what God's called you to. The truth is that God doesn't call the qualified, because if he did, none of us would be stood here. Because I'm certainly not qualified enough to be doing this job. But God qualifies the called. So if he's called you to something, he will equip you to do what he's called you to. And I thank God for that every time, because no matter how many times I stand here and say, do you know how hard it was to put together a message today? It's not in my strength anyway. Because if it was, it would be rubbish. Amen. From Liam at the front. Because if God really wanted to use people to draw people in, he wouldn't choose somebody like me who would much rather be sat on my sofa watching TV than out talking to people, and yet he still chooses me. And I want to tell you this morning, if you feel unqualified to serve God, you're not. Right. If he's calling you, he will qualify you every step that you take. Yep. He will, because he promises it. Yep. And so if that's been a barrier in your head of, I can't do that, let me urge you, you can. And there is a place for you. And the other kind of person that, as I was preparing this, I was praying for, is the kind of person that looks and says, there's no place for me. Let me tell you this morning, if you want to serve, there is a space for you. There are plenty of teams that need people. More than that, if God's given you a dream for something and you don't see the opportunity yet, come and talk to us. Because it might be that it's just not happening yet, and we've been desperate for that person for a long time. Who knows, maybe God's stirring in your heart what he's stirring in ours, and we've just been waiting for you to step up and say, hey, here I am, would you use me? Unashamedly, this morning is about, we want people to serve. We want people to begin to take ownership of this house, and what that looks like is serving on our teams. And I know a few months ago we did a plea and said, if you want to serve, come and talk to us. And we took some names and we said, great, we'll be in contact. And we probably let the ball slip on that. So sorry. But this morning we want to give you that opportunity. And the slide with the people's faces, hands, can we have that up, please, mate? Rather than coming and talking to me and me taking names and saying, great, I'll be in contact with people, here's the people that you need to know about. You've got Mike and Danny up in the top. They run Youth and Kids. Did you know we have a youth group on a Friday night? They need people, because at the moment it's three of them leading young people, and forgive me, Mike, but they're not the youngest people. It's not about age. Let me take that back, because that's really bad of me. They do so much already, and they will serve youth every week because they love the young people. But if there was somebody that was desperate to serve young people, I'm sure the right person, they would say, please, let's go. Let's go do this together. We've got Matt in the top, what's that, top right. He's on holiday at the moment, but he runs our production team. Did you know we have a production team? Probably, because when it squeals, you all turn to look at them and go, what are you doing? And when it's running really smoothly, nobody notices. Yeah. Our production team need people because at the moment they're on once a month and most times it's one person trying to run three things. If you can run a computer, you can learn to run production. We'd love to have you on our team. Why not go and see Matt? Bottom right, Liam. Everyone knows Liam. Yay. Doesn't he do a great job of leading worship? Yeah. But our worship team could be bigger. How often do you look around and think, where's the drums? How often do you look around and think, where's that bass coming from? It feels so good. Just me? The reason that you can hear drums and stuff is because we use tracks. Now, we would much rather not use tracks, right? Oh, yeah. Every musician in the room says, amen. But our worship team could use people. If you are a skilled musician, why not come and see Liam? Or, let me throw this in there. If you would love to learn an instrument, yeah. Hey, we've got people in this room that could teach you how to play an instrument if you really wanted to. We'd love to spend a little bit of time teaching you and helping you get equipped. And then, who knows, maybe you could be up here leading worship one week. Lastly on this list, we've got Amy, the lovely Amy. Very quickly, funny. I tried to find a nice picture of Amy, and every picture on Facebook of Amy is like properly done because Steve has been taking photos and editing them. And I was like, is there not one of her just like not looking perfect? No. Okay. Amy leads our prayer ministry. Who knows that we need intercessors in church? Hey, maybe you're not physically able to do a whole lot, but you've got a real heart for prayer. Why not go and see Amy? Because we'd love to have you as part of this team that are praying over our church, praying over our leadership, praying over Mike and Danny and their family, praying over this church family, praying over this community, because without prayer, all of this is a bit useless. If you'd love to be a part of that, why not go and see Amy at the end and get involved? Hey, we've got a Go project constantly going on, and that's run by Esther. We've got our guest services run by Barbara. They need people. Barry says he can't do everything. I don't believe it, but maybe you could help him a little bit. And if you've got a real dream to do something that we've not even mentioned, why not come and chat to me and say, hey, like, I feel really passionately about this. Is there any opportunity? Why are we doing this morning? Because we want you to feel like you really own this place. Because we don't want you, when you talk to your friends about coming to church, for it to be, hey, I go to this church, but rather I go to my church. My church is awesome. Because when you really own something, it goes from being theirs to being mine. When I talk to my friends about my church, I brag about you. I brag about this place. It's not because the building's great. It's not because our services are amazing every week, but it's because of the people that are here. And hey, if more of us took ownership like that, imagine the difference that we could make. Imagine the team that we'd have, because you guys are pretty awesome. It's great spending some time with you on a Sunday, but love to spend some more time with you. We'd love to for you to feel like you really own this place. And maybe you feel like there's no space for you. Let me tell you this morning, that's not true. And if it feels like there's no space, we will shuffle apart to make space for you, and we'll welcome you in with open arms. And this morning, if you don't feel like you're qualified, great. Because if you were, you'd probably think that you knew it all. By being unqualified, you're willing to learn. You're willing to say, hey, God, here I am. Would you use me? Use me as you want to. This morning, the call isn't about, like, let's go and do this. But it's a, would you join us? Would you partner with us? Would you help us do everything that we feel we're called to do? Did you know that we've got a leadership team? There's four couples in this church that meet together once a month. We sit around a meal table and have a bit of a laugh together. Love Ed's cooking. But then we sit and we plan and we pray for this church. We sit and we plan and pray for the growth of this church, for the areas that we're going to go in, for our encounter services, for our youth and for our kids. What would be amazing at the end of this service is if you would be willing to pray for this team. Is that okay? Yeah. Now, if you don't know who that team is, let me let you know. It's Mike and Danny, because as they lead this church, they should be leading that leadership team, right? And don't they do a good job of leading us? Yeah. Liam and Esther are part of our leadership team. Ed and Annabelle are part of our leadership team. Is Ed in London today? He's gone to watch American football. I'm so jealous. Finally, Emily and I sit on that team too. Now, we sit on this team because we love this church, because we love you as a people, and because we fully believe in the vision that Mike and Danny have got for One Church Bristol. But every month we meet together and we pray and we plan for what's going to happen. We can't do this without your support. So this morning, would you pray for us? Yeah. And literally, after this service, we're going to have some dinner and we're going to start planning what next year looks like. Yeah? So we really need your prayer. So what I'm going to do is, guys, would you just...